welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. Today we're going to talk about something slightly different. It's not a game.
Is your wife a goer? Dodge, dodge. Wink,
wink, wink.
Say no more.
Say no more. No, we're not going to talk about the Monty Python shows.
Okay.
That happened over the summer. We're not talking about a game. We're not talking about a card game. We're not talking about a board game. Look into my eyes. Not around my eyes. Look into my eyes. No, we're going to talk about the return of Doctor Who.
Ding-a-ding-ding-ding. Oh, the starting sequence. I like it.
All right. So, Conrad knows how I feel about the new series of Doctor Who, which at the time of recording we've had two episodes. I have no idea how Conrad feels about it. So this could be a Matt and Mike special where Matt talks rubbish and...
and he goes, well, you're wrong.
And when I'm patently not. Or we could agree. So I don't actually know.
Well, should we start with the fact that I've actually been a massive Doctor Who fan since William Hartnell?
Yeah, see, I'm not old enough for that. but I have watched Doctor Who since John Pertwee, who was the Doctor when I was born. And
well, he delivered you.
Sorry?
He delivered you, did he?
Yes, he did. He popped in and went, oh, you're special. I'll deliver you myself.
Yeah, you're special. Anyway, all right then. So we've lived through
Doctor Who. We've lived through many changes in actors. We've lived through
the bad times.
Often in the same episode.
Yeah, and we've lived through the barrenness of not having Doctor Who, the excitement of having the film, and then the excitement of Resurrection.
Which you could argue was the barrenness.
Hey, it was still there, you know.
It was Doctor Who.
They had a new TARDIS with a new take on it. It was American television as well, so
yeah. And we've lived through the reboot.
Yeah, the sadness and the happiness of the reboot.
And now we're on to season 8 of the reboot.
Is it that much?
It is season eight, yeah.
So the obligatory question has to be who is your doctor?
Okay.
I'm guessing it's Tom Baker for you.
No, it actually isn't.
Ooh.
I liked Tom Baker a lot. But the doctor that I really identified with was Peter Davidson.
Really? So because a lot of it seems to be when you kind of got into it properly, as it were, watching the telly.
Yeah, so Peter Davidson, I off the top of my head I would say that was early 80s. I haven't looked it up and I'm not going to look it up now. But Tom Baker, I think, regenerated in 82 into Peter Davidson. And I really like Peter Davidson's characterization of the Doctor.
It was very different
from Tom Baker's. A lot less running about and a bit more cerebral type.
It's the cricket, isn't it? It was the cricket.
I did like the cricket, but also I think it had some of the best stories of that era. Earthshock, when the Cybermen returned.
Yeah.
The new design of Cyberman, the death of Aldrich. Spoilers, he dies.
That was in the spaceship, wasn't it?
The Doctor doesn't save him. That whole era of writing I thought was really, really good, and I really, really enjoyed it. I wasn't a big fan of Colin Baker when he regenerated into him. At the time, I was a big fan of Perry.
Yeah.
I was 15. but then when Colin Baker regenerated into Sylvester McCoy, I really liked a lot of the Sylvester McCoy stuff, even though it had no budget.
Yes, I think that was the biggest downfall of it, though, wasn't it? I mean, it was clear that that's where it was. You know,
it was clear going. It was on its last legs. But I think that some of the story, I mean, some of the monsters and things, like the Bertie Bassett monster at that time.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. But I thought that Sylvester McCoy's characterization of the Doctor was really quite cool. And I liked Ace as well. I thought she was good.
You thought she was Ace, didn't you?
I didn't think she was Ace, but I did like her.
So that's and then, my favourite Doctor. Can I tell you who my favourite Doctor was?
Okay, go on then.
It's Pertwee. That was when I was very much into Doctor Who. I didn't watch a lot of the Baker era, and I really regret it because I know that it was good as well. But a lot of
isn't it on UK Gold constantly?
I could probably go and watch it now, couldn't I? I've got time for it. But Pertwee, that whole series after him being regenerated from Troughton, who I really enjoyed as well because he was just quirky. And the fact that he was banished essentially to Earth made it kind of interesting as well.
Yeah.
And you had classic monsters and stories during that time. You know, you learnt a lot about the Daleks at that time. You know, how they were invented. You see the sea devils for the first time. And and then there's the whole Peladon type stories as well with the beast of Peladon or the monsters of Peladon as well. And there was a lot of master type episodes during that time. And then we had the classic, the first time that they did it, where the three doctors were together.
Yeah, that was in 73.
Which then went on, you know, it was reinvented in different ways for essentially anniversaries as such. But Pertwee was unique because you also had the involvement of the guys in the berets, the red
unit.
So you had Brigadier Lethbridge,
Nations Intelligence Task Force, as it was at the time.
So you had Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart involved. You had the Whomobile and Bessie, you know, that those sort of classic.
Sarah Jane,
who was hot as well.
She was awesome.
She was hot. So that was my period in time.
Okay, so what did you think when it rebooted?
When it rebooted, I was really, really excited about the reboot. They were clearly going to invest money into it, and the choice of actor for the reboot, who was
Christopher
Eccleston. You know, I'd seen him in Our Friends in the North. I knew what sort of quality of actor he was, and I thought, oh, this is going somewhere different. And it did. He was an absolutely brilliant Doctor, and after that first series, I was so upset and annoyed, but, you know, I understood as well, that he wasn't continuing. And it was, I often wonder where the writing and the character would have gone if he'd stayed on for another two series. And we'd not got, it was Tennant next, wasn't it?
Well, Steven, yeah.
Yeah. Because I thought he brought a completely different quality to the character that had never, ever been seen before. And I really enjoyed it. Then we had Tennant, and there were aspects of Tennant that I liked. And then we had Smith as well. But I've started to lose faith in what was happening with Doctor Who.
Yeah, you and I have discussed this in the past.
Yeah.
We have different expectations, I think, of the show.
Yep.
And one of your big hates, and I'm paraphrasing you here and putting words into your mouth, which is a bit odd considering you're here, is that you don't like the Deus Ex Machina endings that a lot of the episodes, especially towards the end of the Tennant era.
I found it repetitive, basically. I mean, there are some classic storylines that I've seen, you know, during the reboots. I especially like the werewolf one, which springs to mind, and I'm sure that's a Tennant era
It is. I think it's his second episode.
I thought that was so brilliantly written, but I don't think we've had many of them. I don't think we've had many very, very well written.
You see, I think this is where we disagree. I think if I look back, if I look at if we take the Tennant stories, I think the Lady in the Mirror one is very good, with the clockwork things where he keeps coming back in time to meet Marie Antoinette.
No, I mean, yes, I think there's some really good concepts and ideas, and there are still some good stories. But I don't like them all, because I think they're cringe.
Rushed?
I think that's it. The quality of the writing is always there, I believe. But then, as you say, this Deus Ex Machina, and I think it is rushed, and it would be better as a 90-minute television program which allowed it to play through properly. I often felt hard done by with Doctor Who, where essentially in the last 5 or 10 minutes they ended the program very, very abruptly, and I felt as though I'd just paid a load of money for something that I wasn't getting my value for money for it, you know, as such.
Okay.
And that's because I'm invested in the character, the concept, and everything like that.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I don't feel that way. Certainly there have been the odd episode, and I think certainly towards the end of Matt Smith's run, there was the odd episode where I did feel, you know, in the next 5 minutes he's gonna wave the sonic screwdriver around and it's gonna be all free.
Yeah.
But overall, I like it. I mean, I certainly watch it every episode.
Yeah, I've watched every episode. I did make a conscious decision that if everything didn't improve with Capaldi, and I'm pinning a lot on the new series and where it goes, and Capaldi himself as well, that I would actually stop watching it. And now I've watched Doctor Who since the time of William Hartnell, so that's a huge thing for me.
Okay, so that brings us to Capaldi then. Really, it brings us to the 50th anniversary show, where we had a new Doctor introduced, and we solved a lot of the continuity programs that the program had created for itself over its 50 years.
The least of which being that they'd
he was out of regeneration.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
but we already knew that was possible to get around.
Yeah,
because there was some excellent series in the Tom Baker era, and then in the Peter Davison era, where the Master had used up all his regenerations, and then regenerated into Anthony Inley.
Yep.
So we knew that it was possible to get round, and I think the way they solved the issue was a bit Deus Ex Machina. Oh, all of a sudden the Time Lords can talk to you. But it did have the interesting effect of advancing the character massively, because the Doctor was on Trenzalore for 1,200 years.
Yep. And it was great seeing the Time Lords again.
Yeah, and so it went from I'm 900 years old to I'm over 2,000 years old. And then we get Capaldi, and we've gone from having younger heartthrob-type actors to an old crotchety man, almost as if it's William Hartnell again.
I think it's a combination of Pertwee and Baker esque character, and I'm glad that they've done it rather than go for
another young handsome
ish. Yeah, going for
teen idol.
Exactly right. Yeah, catering to the masses, as it were. I think it's time that it grew up a bit to a certain extent.
Okay. So we've had two episodes so far. The reaction, certainly amongst the people that I know, has been mixed.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people saying that they want Tennant back, get Capaldi off our screen. He's not the Doctor. Who is this grumpy man? He's just mean and alien and stuff. Now, for me, those are actually the bits about the characterization I absolutely love.
So do I.
There was a line in last week's episode, oh, this is Clara, she's my carer, so I don't have to.
There have been so many great one-liners in the first two episodes. I can't remember them, but they have had me belly laughing, you know, gut laughing, as it were.
Yeah, I honestly think he is brilliant in it. Someone's ringing in to complain.
Yeah, hold on a minute.
Right, so Conrad's back. So we were just discussing one-liners of
Capaldi
things. What we need is we need a TARDIS so we can go. So yes, we're discussing Capaldi and the writing. So I'm massive fan. I think it's been awesome. I think the way that he is portrayed as. I think he even said it in the show, I'm not your boyfriend.
But basically he said he's not the person he was before. Get with the program. But I need you.
And I think that that's the other really interesting thing. I think his reliance on his companion has never been more obvious on keeping him on a straight and steady keel. I think in Saturday's episode where Clara slaps him, when they're in the reactor of the Dalek, and obviously this is spoilers if you haven't seen the episode. When they're in the reactor of the Dalek, and she, you know, and the soldiers just died, and she goes, "What have we learned?" And she goes, "I'm going to slap him." And she just smacks him across the face.
But that's also a great thing for Coleman as well. In that, yeah. I don't think you would have seen her do that to Matt Smith.
Well, no, I don't think she would, because I think that the whole flirty nature of, and we had it with David Tennant as well, because we had it with Martha, who, you know, basically fell in love with him and left because he wouldn't commit to her. We certainly had it with Rose. Yeah. You know, we had it with Amy, even though she was with Rory, there was still this thing for the Doctor. I think
they needed to break that. Sorry to interrupt. I think they needed to break that because, quite frankly, it was getting boring. I mean, it was interesting with the whole Rose thing. It then became repetitive after Rose. Once they'd sort of done the mirror universe type thing and got essentially banished Rose to it, I thought that would be the end of it. But they then carried on this whole sort of...
Yeah, it's why Donna was the best companion of the Tennant era.
Yeah, I can see that. Absolutely.
Because there was no romantic aspect of it. And I think that they've reinforced that. I think that Jenna Coleman has proving herself to be a really good actress. Yeah. You know, I think you have to be. To work with someone of Capaldi's stature...
You've got to be able to riff off him, essentially, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the other people that he has worked with over the past few years, you need to be a good actress to work with them. And I think that she's, in the first two episodes, she is proving that to be good.
I think we're on a discovery. I mean, the first extended episode was great because there was the usual sort of getting into who the hell I am, where he forgets. It wasn't done as in any... it didn't copy other regen sort of episodes as such, other than the forgetfulness bit. And then he seems to be snapping into shape as a character. I did feel a little bit hurried on the Dalek one, but kind of enjoyed it, though I did find the whole concept a little bit silly. The fact that they were reduced and put into the...
But don't you think that they completely referenced that when he said fantastic idea for terrible idea for a proctologist?
Absolutely, yeah. But there you go. There's another one-liner there.
Yeah. And I think the other bit that did work was the fact that when it didn't work as he thought it was going to work. He got to the end result that the show needed to have but not the way he wanted to get it, because the way he got there was not filling the Dalek with love and lightness and joy and unicorns, but filling the Dalek with hatred, yeah, and the dark side. And it showed that the Doctor has a massively dark side. You know, he is a genocidal maniac. Now, you may say that the Daleks are genocidal maniacs, but does killing genocidal maniacs, is that any better than being a genocidal maniac?
Do you know
what's
really interesting, Mike? I've just recently watched Sherlock, and I've watched the first two series, and the ending of the Reichenbach Fall is essentially Sherlock saying that he is Moriarty. And that whole dark side is, you know, bearing in mind that Gatiss and Moffat are involved in Doctor Who as well as Sherlock. There's a similarity there, actually, you know, in terms of the darkness.
There is. And I've also seen people online saying that the writing is all over the place and it doesn't make sense if you examine it logically. But to be fair, Sherlock is held up as this. I mean, as you brought Sherlock up is held up as a beacon of fantastic modern television, and it is great television. I love Sherlock. But if you examine it with the same sort of scrutiny that Doctor Who seems to get put under, you get exactly the same
result. Yeah, what happened at the end of Series 1? Why did they make a Series 2? They were in the swimming pool with red dots and him sort of aiming a gun at the bomb on the floor. And then it's Series 2 starts and it's like, hold on a minute, what happened there? But there you go. No, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I like the Missy reference and, you know, in the same way that the wolf thing, these underlying themes, which has sort of come over from it is a writing sort of trait that's come from American series, I actually think, mainly. I like that. I hope they don't screw it up.
They love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, hold on.
So you're enjoying it, then?
I am enjoying it. I'm intrigued to see where it goes and how Capaldi develops, because I don't want to stop watching it, you know, is the bottom line.
Yeah, I'm very happy with where we are now, and I'm looking forward to each episode each week.
Do you know how many episodes in this series?
I think it's 12.
Okay, so we've got a good...
We've got the run-up to the end of the year.
And we've got a good number of episodes to establish him as well.
Yes.
And there are rumours, obviously, of Coleman going.
Well, there are rumours of him going as well. But if he was going to go, they have to announce it pretty quickly.
No, that's right, yeah.
I hope he doesn't go. I hope that we get him another series.
So do I, because I think having seen it with Eccleston, it doesn't work.
No, I think you need a couple of series. I hope, to be honest, I hope she doesn't go either.
But there's, you know, it's the man crush thing, isn't there?
Well, who knows what's going to happen with Mr. Pink, though.
Exactly right.
Who is Danny Pink? Because there's all, if you read the rumours, there's all matter of rumours about him.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. If you want spoilers, just wander around the nets and you will find stuff. Anyway.
Right.
Even with a TARDIS and our constant interruptions, I think we are out of time.
And with that, I'm going to set the date for... Well,
when? 1986?
When I had hair.
Oh, good God. And those flared trousers. I've been the Doctor.
And I've been the Doctor.
No, you've been who? Let's try this again. I've been the Doctor.
And I've been who?
Exactly. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter. We're at Fools_Daily or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.